The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Battlefield Expressions. I'm your host this morning, Rob Burles, United States Navy Seabee Senior Chief, retired in two combat tours in Iraq. I'm also the director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program. And right now we have our C for T, which is Christmas for the Troops, and also our Warm a Vet program, where we help to bring in hats and scarves and gloves and be able to hand those out to veterans, young and old, that are in need for cold weather clothing through the wintertime. And so I just would like to welcome you this morning to be part of our program. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is this next week that's coming up. And, you know, with everything that's going on in the world right now, we need to stop and we need to be thankful for what we have, because even though that there's sickness out there and other things going on, we need to be positive and we need to be thankful for those of us that are healthy and we have homes and we have our vehicles and we have our jobs. And even if you're struggling at this time and things are tough, we need to stop and say thank you. We need to appreciate the lives of our family. We need to appreciate our family members. We need to appreciate our freedom that we have in this nation. We need to appreciate our Northern California area. I'll tell you what, if you haven't stopped and paid attention as you're driving through our Northern California area right now is one of the most beautiful times of our seasons here in Northern California. The trees are beautiful. The sky is blue. We have clouds out there. We've got a nice, stiff, cool breeze. What a change from the 105-degree days in the heat, in the fire. And the rain that we've received so far has dampened all the dust and the smoke that's been out there. And it's just made it be a beautiful fall time. And so I am grateful and I am thankful for our weather change. I'm thankful for our beautiful Northern California area. Right now we have snow-capped Lassen and snow-capped Shasta. And you go outside. If you haven't stopped and taken a break, I recommend that you do. If you've been inside and you've been stuffy and you've been kind of sheltered away, I recommend that you go out and take a walk in the afternoon or the evening or first thing in the morning and enjoy the fresh air. Enjoy the blue sky. Enjoy the colors of the trees right now, because they'll be gone here in another couple of weeks. So the wind blows, it gets a little bit colder, they'll all fall to the ground with our next freeze. And so I really encourage you to get out there this Thanksgiving Day. If you're not out with all of your family, take a walk out there. And you know what? If you're walking out in the fresh air, don't wear your mask. Okay, you're not going to catch anything from the trees and the leaves falling. If there's nobody else on the sidewalk, take that mask off and walk out there freely and enjoy the beautiful Northern California fall that we have right now. And to be honest, it really surprises me as I drive down the street and I see people walking outside with their mask on. There is no virus in the fresh air. I see people riding their bike with their mask on. It's like, dude, take your mask off and enjoy the fresh air as you're riding your bike. There's no virus in the fresh air. And it always baffles me when you're only supposed to wear your mask around other people when you think there's an issue, but you don't wear your mask when you're outside enjoying the beautiful fresh air that we have. That beautiful fresh air, that fresh oxygen, God gave that to us. And it's there to enjoy. It's there to get that into our system so our bodies can rejuvenate with that fresh oxygen and just get out there and clear your mind of all the things that are going on. And, you know, right now is a wonderful time for us to appreciate our freedom, to appreciate the liberties that we have. Even though there's all kinds of still chaos going on in the election and different things that are going on, in your own personal life right now, it's an opportunity for you to just take a deep breath, go for a walk, enjoy that opportunity, like I said, to enjoy a beautiful fall that we're having right now. Hey, we don't have 3 feet of snow on the ground. It's not 14 minus outside. We have one of the greatest places here in Northern California. We really do see four seasons here. And without the extra snow, maybe we'll see some sometime this year. You never know. But right now, it's just a beautiful place out there and a beautiful time. I'd like to remind you right now, the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound and Silver Star Widows program is doing a Holiday Meals Military Families program. And we are still accepting items for Thanksgiving meals to be able to help take care of our military families and widows here in our Northern California area. And so I'd like to remind you, if you're interested in donating, you know, Thanksgiving's this next week, but we are still accepting food items for the families. The phone number for the Veterans Museum office is 378-2280. That's 378-2280. And I'm only in the office a couple of days a week because I'm out taking care of a lot of other business here in our community. But we're still receiving canned food items, stuffing, rice, potatoes, cookie package mixes, turkeys. If you'd like to really donate a large item, an extra turkey or a ham would be greatly appreciated. That helps offset the cost of our program. Gravy, you know, string beans and corn, different things that you would have in a normal holiday meal. Those are the items that we provide military families that are in need. We go ahead and we help get them a turkey and all the fixings to go with it so that they have food for not just 1 or 2 days, but they have food for an entire week. And the whole idea for us is to be able to help offset their costs and their living if they don't have the money or the opportunity to afford to be able to take care of that. It is one way that we give back to our veterans in our Northern California communities. I'd like to do a shout-out to Golden Valley Bank, Christy Davis, that's over there. They worked with us with the Iron Soldier Ride. They were one of our primary supporters and financial supporters through this program. They are one of the companies that help us and are moving forward to be able to take care of this. And without organizations and businesses in our community that step up and help us with these programs, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. The Northern California Veterans Museum and its sub-programs only survive based on the donations that come in the door. And when those donations come in, nobody takes a wage. All of those items. Our goal and our motto is we make dollars out of nickels because we have to make every dollar stretch because nothing in, nothing out. Zero from zero is zero. And everything that we do is in a positive manner to give back to our veterans and our community. The whole idea is to make sure that we help our veterans. We give them a hand up and not a handout. And we encourage them in their jobs. We encourage them in their lives. We encourage them to be good community citizens in our community. When everything else seems to be falling apart, we want to make sure that because they served our nation, they can serve here at home and they can be appreciated for what they've done and where they've been and what they've seen. And so once again, as we move forward into Thanksgiving and Christmas, we'll be taking these items and we'll be giving them back out to those that are in need in our community that are military families and veterans. And then also, once again, we're still looking for smaller items. We'll be shipping boxes out here in December. Our program is set up for December 6th. Obviously, at this point, it looks like that we're not going to be able to have an event once again because everything seems to be shut down. But we are going to do a drive-by barbecue on December 6th. That will be at the Old Fires House down in Cottonwood, the old fire station, which is now the restoration facility for the Northern California Veterans Museum. And we'll be receiving those items there December 6th. And we'll take those items in. We'll get them prepared for boxes and for the families for the Christmas meals. And then we'll go ahead and take those and get those redistributed out to those that are in need. We'll get those boxes. We'll be shipping them overseas to our military personnel, men and women who are serving around the world right now, making sure that we continue to have the freedom that we have. They're there by themselves doing a duty that is thankless many times. Their lives are in harm's way. And unless they hear from us here at home, sometimes the morale can be pretty tough, especially during the holidays. And so I remember that when I served in Iraq during Christmas, and we received boxes from home from total strangers. It was always it's just cool to get a box from somebody you don't know. And you open it up and there's candy and there's cookies and there's cards to say thank you for your service and Merry Christmas. And God bless you for what you're doing. And we want to continue that tradition. We should, as Americans, continue to say thank you every opportunity we get to our veterans, whether they're serving abroad or whether they're at home wearing a service hat here in our community that says they served, whether it's Korea or Vietnam. We've got less and less World War II veterans, or Iraq, Afghanistan. We wouldn't have what we have if it wasn't for our veterans who serve and sacrifice for us, for the things that we have every day that we take for granted. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Did the Reading summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop it at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places this heart of mine embraces all day through. In everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is a beautiful World War II song by Rosemary Clooney. And the reason that I'm playing that this morning is because this morning we are remembering a World War II veteran, Thomas Johnson, Private Thomas Johnson, United States Marine Corps, 2nd Marine Division, served during World War II in the Battle of Basho, the Battle of Tarawa Atoll. And just in the last few months, his remains were found on the island of Tarawa, and they were interred. They had taken DNA from the family, and they had gone through and recognized they had found him in a mass grave there on Tarawa, and they have exhumed his body and brought it back to the United States. And the reason that we're talking about Tom Johnson, Private Tom Johnson, the United States Marine Corps, World War II, 2nd Division, is because he is going to be laid to rest at the Igo Veterans Cemetery on Monday. And if you don't know about World War II and the fight through the South Pacific that the Americans fought against the Japanese during World War II, the Battle of Tarawa took place November 20th through the 23rd, 4 days of hell on a small island 2 miles long. The U.S. began its Central Pacific campaign against Japan by seizing the heavily fortified Japanese-held island of Basho in the Tarawa Atoll in the Gilbert Islands. The 18,000 U.S. Marines sent to a tiny Basho were expected to easily secure it. However, problems quickly arose. Low tides prevented some U.S. landing craft from clearing the coral reefs that ringed the island. Japanese coastal guns pounded and snagged vessels, and separate Marines gave up on freeing the boats and instead waded towards shore, hundreds of yards away through chest-deep water amidst heavy enemy fire. Despite heavy resistance from 4,500 Japanese troops dug in on Basho, the Marines finally took the island after a bloody 76-hour battle in which both sides suffered heavily with casualties. And if you didn't know, there was 1,000 Marines lost their lives in 4 days, and 2,000 that were wounded or injured on Basho in 76 hours there. During World War II, the first battle that we fought was the Battle of Guadalcanal in 1942. That battle was 6 months long, and we lost 1,000 Marines in a six-month time frame. So when it came to Basho and the island of Tarawa, we lost 1,000 Marines killed in action in 4 days. That was one of the heaviest tolls that we suffered at the very beginning of the war. It was an outrage to the American public that so many Marines gave their lives in such a short period of time. But it was a heavy learning lesson for the United States, because at that time, this is only our second main battle at the beginning of the war against the Japanese. Our radios weren't watertight. They hit the water. They were done. There was no communication. So if they weren't taken care of, they had no communication on the shorelines. There were the units that were made it to the shoreline. They were scattered. They were bewildered. They were. This is the first time those young Marines had been in combat, and so there was a lot of chaos and things that were going on, and so it was a very horrific time in learning curve, vertical learning curve for the United States and the United States Marine Corps. The Gilbert Islands, a group of 16 atolls near the equator, were viewed by the U.S. as a stepping stone to the Marshall Islands and became the first target of the Central Pacific Campaign. In November of 1943, the U.S. launched an offensive codenamed Operation Galvanic, in which the prime target was the tiny island of Baishio in the Tarawa Atoll and the Gilbert Islands. Compared with taking the of Tarawa, the U.S. faced far less Japanese resistance at Macon, an American-secured atoll by 23rd of 1943 and late of 41. Tarawa, a coral atoll located some 2,500 miles southwest of Hawaii, had been seized by the Japanese, who heavily fortified Baishio's largest target. And it was amazing because the emperor, or excuse me, the major general there on Baishio in Tarawa had said that it would take 100 years and a million military Marines or Army to be able to take that island. And the Marines said, that's not good enough for us. We're going to go ahead and we're going to shell that island with the Navy. We're going to go ahead and we're going to move forward. There was a total of 18,000 Marines that landed on that shoreline. The ship showed up on November 17th, and by November 19th, they were prepared and ready to offset, to unload, and be able to move forward. And that was before we were, our ships were too large to be able to come in close to the shoreline, so they had to use amphibious vehicles. But they had mistimed the level of the water that was coming in, the tide, and the tide was out at the time they came in. And the coral reefs were only 3 feet below the surface of the water. And so those amphibious vehicles were heavy, and they would stick, and they would hang up on the shoreline. And so if the Marines did not get out of those amphibious vehicles, they were just sitting targets for the artillery of the Japanese during that time frame. And so that's why they got out, and they waded ashore, and that's how so many of the Marines lost their lives, because, once again, as we talked about, they were targets in the shoreline as they were walking chest deep. And it was, we had some Marines here that lived here in our community that were heroes, that had survived that time frame, and they were here. There's a gentleman that was part of our Marine Corps ball, was here all the time, and he just passed away this last year. And to stop and listen to him talk about how they fought the Japanese face to face, and at night the Japanese would come up and they would be fighting them face to face in the nighttime. It was 76 hours of hell during that time frame. And on the second day, November 22nd, is when Tom Johnson gave his life. He received a Silver Star and a Purple Heart for his actions that day. They needed more ammunition. He went to another location to get ammunition and bring it back, because on the forward line they had completely run out. There was no ammunition. They had fired it all downrange at the Japanese. And as he was bringing the ammunition back, he was mortally wounded. He was wounded. He made it back to the line to bring that ammunition, but he gave his life there on that shoreline, on that tiny island, 2 miles long. And so today we want to make sure that we remember Tom Johnson as we prepare to lay him to rest on Monday. We're bringing him home. We're remembering him. We're remembering all the Marines that gave their lives. We're remembering all the men and women who gave their lives during World War II. And for us to be able to move forward and to be able to have what we have. And it was an honor and a privilege. They asked Mark George, the director of the Veterans Museum, asked me to come out and put together a display for the Veterans Museum for this particular event. And this display of a World War II Marine in a World War II uniform with the M1 carbine, the M1 Grand, with a 1911 45, with all of the items that were there, the entire collection. If you go out to the Veterans Cemetery and see that collection in their library there, in their lobby, is all World War II artifacts. They're the original items from that time frame. The K-bars, the bayonets, and in the bottom of the display is his Purple Heart and a Silver Star and the World War II medals that represent our military personnel who served during that time frame. And as I was putting that display together, I was thinking about what took place after knowing the history and being able to put that uniform on the mannequin and the combat helmet on his helmet, putting the leggings on his spats, on his boots, and then stepping back and looking at that and seeing exactly what that Marine would have looked like as he left the shoreline, as he left the boat and he was headed toward that shoreline, and listening. We listened to the artillery and the machine gun fire and a mortar fire and all those different things when we were in Iraq on a daily basis. We listened to the enemy in one action or another, whether it was along where we were at or whether it was another location. And at times it was extreme and it was heavy, and at other times it wasn't so much. But those sounds and those smells, even though they were in the desert, they come back and they bring the memory of what it's like to be in combat, in the fear and the sweat. We carried armored vests, and these men only had a steel pot on their head. They only had a helmet to protect them from flak. And they had cotton shirts and pants, but no protection other than that. And what a different time frame it was for the sacrifice of what they gave for us. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Pulse Urgent Care at 100 East Cypress Avenue would like to thank you for your support during 2020. Pulse is happy to announce they are reopening their urgent care services and are accepting patients by appointment only between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on weekdays and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. Pulse follows public health guidelines. Masks are required along with social distancing. Please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for a screening, appointment, and further information.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Hello, everybody. It is my happy privilege to introduce a new song, God Bless America. While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and God bless America. I tell you what, we need to remember that we would not have what we have if it wasn't for the grace of God. You know, the good Lord gives us the salvation for our hearts, but the men and women who fight and sacrifice give us the freedom here that we have here in our nation. And it's the men and women who step up and lay down their lives and serve in our places, in our steads. Because I'm not serving our nation right now overseas. I'm retired from the Navy after 23 years of giving my opportunity to be able to be there and set forth and to be able to serve. My father was a World War II veteran. My grandfather was a World War I veteran. And so as I served, I looked back to my father, looked to his service, and I looked to what he endured. And he set the example for me in my life so that as I served, I knew if my father could endure that and that if he could do that, then it was up to me to be able to step forward and to be able to do that myself. Many people don't have that concept. Many people don't have that idea. Well, they did it. I'm not going to because they did it. Well, that's fine. That's you and that's your life. But I was raised to understand with sacrifices. My mother would sit down. My dad would not talk about it. My mother would sit down and she would share what took place with my uncles that were in the South Pacific and my father that was in the South Pacific and everything that took place during that time frame. Because I am a World War II kid. And so that's one of the reasons that it's always on my heart. And that's one of the reasons that I served was because of knowing what took place. When my brother was serving during Vietnam, and as a young boy, I would watch the newsreels and watch what was going on with the war in Saigon and the jungle fights and the battles that were taking place. And I feared for my brother's life during that time frame. But it made me wanted to join the fight. It made me wanted to be a part of that. It made me wanted to step up and do my part. And that's what I did. I stepped up, and as a Navy CB, I was able to do my part and serve two combat tours in Iraq. My guest this morning is Master Chief Mike Van Gundy. And Mike and I served together throughout the years. He also served in Iraq also. And good morning, Mike. Welcome to Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning, Rob.
And pull your mic just a little bit closer to you there so and talk almost right up to it. And so this morning, Mike, 31 years?
32.
32 years. And you're retiring just in the next month or right now? Or
right now I'm looking at February of 21.
You just stressed it out as long as you could, didn't you?
Pretty much.
Mike, your dad was a Vietnam veteran, and he served. I'm not sure about your grandfather or the other veterans in your family, but this morning, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the program this morning. And I'd like we served together also at the Veterans Cemetery. We did many funerals together honoring our veterans, whether it was Navy, or Merchant Marine, Coast Guard, even with the Marines and the Army at times and the Air Force. Tell us a little bit about the influence in your life from your family members and why you joined the Navy.
Well, my father was a CB as well, so I'm a second generation CB. Just something to reflect what you were saying, you know, it's funny because I don't remember my dad talk, you know, you get the fun parts they did, but they never talk about the war aspect. And it didn't ever dawn on me till later on, till you've been overseas and then been in a combat zone, then you can relate why they never talked about it. And, why I joined, it wasn't nothing like, you know, your aspect. It was more I was kind of a loose cannon.
Kind of? Still?
Still am. Just a little bit more professional at it now. But you just, I just needed that structure. And I just, you know, and I think that was the best thing. It was more of me doing it. You know, I was told about the military, you know, but I'd never, just because I was told about it and didn't want to do it. Typical 18-year-old kid didn't want to listen. But it came around, and I tell you, that's probably the best thing I ever did, you know, when I signed up. And I did not have no intention of making a career out of it. And here I am 32 years later. I forgot to get off when my reenlistment ended, and now I'm told to go home. So
it's amazing that, like you said, you know, every time the reenlistment comes up, you go, oh, man, do I want to do another four, another six, another whatever it is, the extension's going to be. Yeah. When I joined, it was an 8-year enlistment up front. And so by the time I got to 8 years, I thought, I'm halfway here. There's days that you love it. There's days that you hate it. The days you're going to walk away and you never want to come back. You're done with it. I don't want to serve underneath that commander or that lieutenant or that chief or that first-class petty officer or whatever. I'm done. And then you go back, you're thinking about it, and it's like, okay, well, I'm not going anywhere because I'm under contract, so I better just do a good job and keep going forward.
Well, you got to look at the advantage of that, though, Rob, is versus a civilian job. We're most of these guys, you know, guys and gals, you know, stay with that job for – and it's the same people in the military. We're almost guaranteed every 3 years you're going to get a new – new set of new command, new leadership, and you know, as individuals, we're going to get promoted, so we're going to be moving up in these spots, and we're going to be moved out as well. So that's one thing I like about the military. When you talk about, gosh, there's days you're like, what was I thinking? It's time for me to punch out of here, but it's just because we have such a revolving door, it just it does make it nice sometimes. So.
Sometimes they think they make it too easy for people to step away and not be held to their obligation to do what needs to be done. They just think of the immediate situation. They never think about 6 months to 4 years to a lifetime down the road. I don't know how many veterans that I talk to, they come to the museum or that I meet out and about, and they say, you know, I wish I had stayed in.
Yes.
My wife wanted me to get out, so I got out, and 6 months later, the wife divorced them, and then now they can't get back in. There's so many different situations where people are so overwhelmed at that immediate point in their life that it's hard to see the forest for the trees. And even today, with everything going on in our lives, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. So it's so important for us to step back and evaluate what's going on in our life without making snap decisions like that.
Absolutely. You know, the one that really baffles me more is the ones that are stepping out, you know, say they got 12 plus years, you know, the 12 to 16 year mark. And I could not tell you how many times in my career, like, why, you know, and it's usually, you know, they have family issues and blah, blah, blah. And you're going, you know, hey, just, you know, you tell me you just can't stick for four more and just get your retirement in and try to make it work out or whatever. You know, it's just, like you said, once you step away and you get that many years, it's literally impossible for you to come back in. And unless you are somebody in the medical field that they specifically need those people because they had such a high turnover rate as it is. But, you know, as leaders, that was probably one of the toughest things to try to do is convince people, hey, you're almost there. Let's try to work through this. What do you need from the military to help you out, or you and your family or whatever? So I totally agree with what you were saying.
Well, and then also, you know, as we became senior enlisted, which is senior enlisted with E7 or chief, senior chief and master chief of those positions, your eyes are open to a broader scheme of things. You're no longer looking at just as a second-class petty officer or first-class petty officer in those ranges, because at that point, you're looking up, you're hoping, but there's a cavern between first class petty officer and chief.
Yes.
And so many people try and shoot for that, and never make it. It took me 7 times to make first class petty officer. I made chief first round.
Yes.
Which was just unbelievable to me that I was able to step forward and take it the first test and make chief the first test at 9.5 years.
Well, it's so funny on that, because I always tell the sailors, it's like, you know, it's catching the wave just right. And promotion, and you got to be ready. You know, I was a E4 for 7 years, and then couldn't make E5, and all of a sudden, bam, and everything else just lock and step first time or the second time look at and got promoted. So, like I said, it's just catching the wave, right? And it's a lot of based on what your MOS is, you know, what's the turnover rate?
Well, that's the main thing, is to make sure. I think a lot of times our career counselors and people who give that advice, they don't always paint the entire picture that needs to be painted for that particular individual and to see what's going on. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on the return side. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Reading's Bar is a California Historical Landmark number 32 and was the first gold discovery site in Shasta County. It is located on the bar at the mouth of the Clear Creek Canyon, the entrance to Horsetown Clear Creek Preserve on Clear Creek Road. The discovery was made in 1848 by Pearson B. Reading and worked by him, his employees, and his Indian laborers. This discovery triggered the gold rush into Northern California. The original bar was either washed or dredged away, and another is formed in its place. The current bar is easily visible to visitors and has lots of bushes on it. When you go there, park your car in the Horsetown Clear Creek Preserve parking lot. Walk to the middle of the nearby bridge and look on the downstream side of the creek. The sandbar is right in front of you. This moment in history was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this or exciting books by Dottie, find Dottie Smith on Amazon Books or go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. My guest this morning is Master Chief Mike Van Gundy, United States Navy Seabees. And following in the tradition of his father, Whitey Van Gundy, who was a CB in 1962. What was he, a 62 for 4 or 5 years?
I want to say 65 to 69.
Oh, I thought it was earlier than that.
Yeah, it was right in the middle of the 60s.
The very beginning of Vietnam. And I love your dad. Your dad's a great guy. He's a mentor to me also. When he shows up, I listen. I just shut up and I listen. He's always got some great things to say. He's been there. He's done that. And, you know, after losing my father and my brother, these other older veterans like that I meet and I talk with, you know, they become my surrogate father or brother [S2] Yes. [S1] Or mentor. And to be able to listen to some words of wisdom, some words of color, some words of tales, a little bit of everything, which is which makes it nice because you know you and sometimes we get serious and we talk about the serious stuff. Yeah. But the biggest thing is it's a camaraderie. It doesn't matter if he's 70 or 80 and I'm 50 something. The camaraderie of being in the Seabees, the camaraderie of being in the Navy, the camaraderie of serving your country, that gels, that comes together.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the best friends is listening to where they've been and what they've said and what they're doing and to be able to cherish that. Because when they're gone, they're gone.
Yes.
I mean, we're down to less than a half a percent of our World War II veterans. A half a percent, ladies and gentlemen. And that'll be gone.
Yep.
And that'll be a complete generation. And I think that influence of our World War II generation that is missing is part of the issues that we're having in our nation right now because they came back from the war and they had learned so many lessons. And they brought initiative and they brought inventions and they brought mindsets to be able to build things and to make it a better world at this time. And then once everybody had a freedom that they had earned, then it started to be abused and taken advantage of. And we have people now who have never served our nation. Their families have never served our nation, and they don't know what the cost of freedom is. They don't know why we have what we have. But there's silver spoons of freedom, if I could use that term. And if you know what a silver spoon is, it's a person that's had everything good their entire life, and they've never had to work for anything. And I think that's what our nation is. It's a nation full of silver spoon people who don't know what freedom is, and the cost and the sacrifice of what it takes every day for us to have. And because they don't have that education, they're so willing to throw it away or to give it away because they don't understand that cost. And the only way that will ever be learned again will be to have such suppression to where the next generation will want to fight to have that freedom again, because once it's gone, it's gone. And we need to regard that and remind every day. Mike, take us back to some of those early days when you first joined the Navy and you're going through boot camp and some of those different ordeals and learning lessons that you learned during that time frame for our public out there.
Well, boot camp. Talk about not being on the company commanders were definitely not PC guys like they are today. Talking about an eye-opener.
We're old school.
Oh, yeah.
You and I are still old school.
Holy cow. I remember, my boot camp was in Great Lakes, and it was in August, and that was the first time that I was introduced to humidity. I've never sweated so much in my life out there.
Because you came from college.
Yes.
You grew up here in our community.
Correct. And going to the Midwest was an eye-opener. But the other one I got a kick out of is I remember we're getting late, and they threw us in our racks, and then remember that stupid trash can in the belly club come banging in there, and you thought, what in the world? You know, you're out of a sound sleep, you're tired as hell, and you just got there, and having this guy trash can in a belly club racking that, and then, you know, yelling and screaming and telling what he's going to do, some god-awful things to your mom and blah, 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 and you're just like, where you thought you were in a nightmare, you know, where in the hell am I? And but it that was an interesting time frame because just seeing all different types of walk of life of people from our great country and just remember how we all were just we all didn't get along at first because, you know, again, we all come from different parts of the country, but at the end of the boot camp after, you know, we had that common bonding, and that's the whole purpose of boot camp, really, is just the structure. It's like, that's why we all have the same haircuts, same uniform. They strip who you think you are to make you one person, to get that team concept, you know, one team, one fight, or one fight, one team. And but boot camp was interesting, this is a clean program, so I can't get into the R-rated section of the boot camp, but it was an eye-opener. And it's a lot different from today.
Well, I was going to say. You know,
a lot different.
If you watch Full Metal Jacket with the Marine Corps, that's kind of like it was all across all of the different boot camps. It didn't make any difference. Somebody was always in your face. Literally, you were at attention. Somebody was always nose-to-nose in your face for one. Didn't matter whether you did it or not. They were in your face. The whole idea is for you to be able to learn to be able to take that stress.
Yes.
Up close and personal.
Yes.
Not
on the personal. They don't want you to take it personal.
What the personal I mean is being so close in your space. There is no bubble anymore.
No.
You're in your space.
Right. Well, they're just trying to, again, it's a breakdown. Hey, you mentioned about having a silver spoon for the first 18 years, and I still remember the incoming commander goes, we got to wipe out that. You have 18 years of bad habits, and we're going to clean it up for you, And that's, I just always remember that slogan, And it's still, they still have that today, but it's not hardcore. And I kind of feel sometimes that we see these kids when they come into the main unit, you have to be careful because, they can't handle some of that stress. And it's kind of frustrating because you're just like, hey, that's not the way I was brought up. And it's hard for the longer you've been in, they want you to change versus the youngsters are coming in, and that's probably the one thing I always had a hard time with but that's just a different mentality they have today.
Well, and I understand that concept makes it tough when you say, if I could do it, you could do it. But we were held to a greater standard when we first went in than the soldiers and the sailors and the Marines that are there today.
Yes.
They're not held to the same standard that we were held to. And, even when we went to the Chief's Initiation and we did what we did, we were at the very end of the old school of Chief's Initiations.
Yes.
And now it's just called a transition. There's nothing that goes along with that. And if you ask me, when I went through the Chief's Initiation, when I made Chief, it's an ordeal that you go through. At that time, it was an ordeal that
yes.
you went through.
Yes.
We'd call it a crucible, a minor crucible compared to maybe what the Marines went through.
Yes.
Through their boot camp, but it was similar to that. And some of the things that I endured during that time, because I think we had a pretty harsh one when I went through. I mean, it was pretty old school. And some of the things that I learned going through that Chief's Initiation were things that helped give me strength when I was in Iraq.
Yes.
Enduring. The biggest thing is enduring things you don't like. Being brought to a fact where you can endure things that will not kill you, whether you like them or not, but they will get you through a difficult situation. And some boot camp is made that way, but a lot of that training comes back through SARS training, which is search, air, and rescue, or through combat training, or some of our exercises that we did that put us forward to be able to get us into that situation. And I think that's one of the things that we're missing in our nation right now, Mike, is that we have so many people that take the easy road that when the road gets difficult, they have no idea what to do. They freak out. They don't know, have a clue. They don't know how to think. They're not disciplined. They don't know what it's like to keep their head in a tough situation. And what did Rudyard Kipling said? He said, if you can keep your head, young man, when all the rest of the world is failing and falling apart, then you've become a man. And I always listened to that. I used to love to read Rudyard Kipling, and I would listen to that and think the same thing in my Navy career. I applied that to my Navy career because there was times when we were in Iraq and we were in situations and we were under fire and we were in difficult situations. And as a leader, especially coming from the Chiefs community, it was so important for us to keep that mindset. To be able to manage ourselves in such a difficult situation.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The House has passed a $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill. Here's correspondent Bernie Bennett.
The bill includes a $15 minimum wage increase. Two Democrats, Representative Jared Golden of Maine and Kurt Schrader of Oregon, voted no. Before the vote, Majority Leader Steny Hoyer told reporters the bill is what the economy needed.
Economists agree that we need a bold plan, not just another temporary measure.
Minority Whip Steve Scalise told the House floor that it falls short of what Americans need.
We ought to be focused on helping families, on helping businesses.
The bill now heads to the Senate, where their parliamentarian has ruled that the wage increase can't be included. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Meanwhile, President Biden says the House-approved COVID relief package would offer assistance to families, schools, and local governments.
We're one step closer to helping millions of Americans feed their families and keep a roof over their head.
We're one step closer to getting our kids safely back in school. And we're one step closer to getting state and local governments the money they need to prevent massive layoffs for essential workers.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher says he supports retired Admiral James Stavridis for Navy Secretary, though a waiver may be needed since he retired so recently.
Stavridis would be great. The waiver issue is an issue, given that we had to exercise a waiver to get General Austin there as Secretary of Defense, a waiver which I opposed.
Congressman Gallagher spoke to the Salem Radio Network. The Biden administration carrying out its first action with a U.S. airstrike in Syria.
Pentagon officials say the strikes were retaliation for recent attacks on U.S. interests in Iraq. The U.S. airstrike in Syria targeted facilities belonging to a powerful Iranian-backed militia. White House spokesman Jen Psaki said President Biden is sending an unambiguous message that he's going to act to protect Americans.
And that report from White House correspondent Greg Clugston. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rack animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Struggling under U.S. sanctions, the Chinese tech giant Huawei has unveiled a new flagship foldable smartphone that says it will only be sold in China.
The Mate X2 marks a fresh effort by Huawei to reinforce its status as a tech leader. It also highlights its challenges after Washington cut off access to U.S. processor chips and Google services last year. Huawei has fallen from number one among smartphone brands to sixth place. Huawei was battered by being put on an export blacklist by then-U.S. President Donald Trump in 2019 as a security risk.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. America's lobster fishermen getting closer to the date when they'll have to contend with new rules designed to save the lives of the North Atlantic right whale. There are only about 360 of them left in the wild. The National Marine Fisheries Service developing new rules to reduce the possibility of them getting entangled in fishing lines. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A thumbs up from the Food and Drug Administration. It has endorsed a one-dose coronavirus vaccine from Johnson & Johnson. Here's correspondent Ed Donahue.
This is the third vaccine authorized for emergency use. Dr. Anthony Fauci calls them highly effective.
Each of them are very effective against severe disease, and virtually all of them say that you look at the data and it's clear that you get essentially no hospitalizations or deaths.
FDA advisors say the benefits of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine outweigh the risks, but new supplies of vaccine are needed to keep up with variants of the virus. Dr. Fauci says they're working on that.
We will conduct a phase one study, which we will begin in mid-March.
Shipments of a few million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine could begin as early as Monday. Ed Donahue, Washington.
More of these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Seabees. My guest this morning is Master Chief Mike Van Gundy, United States Seabees. He's retired now, just coming up on in February, 31 years serving our United States and the United States Navy. And, Mike, I served 23 years in the Navy and never put foot on a ship. How much sea duty did you have actually being on a ship?
My sea counter is quadruple zero. I'm just like you, a dirt sailor.
That's right. If you didn't know, the Seabees are construction battalion, and it's very rare unless you're coming to the Seabees from another rate, which was a fleet rate. We are dirt sailors. The only thing we ever see is the Humvee or it used to be Deuce and a Half, so not yes. Deuce and a Half, they're MTBRs,
yes.
Which is a great big military truck that we use right now, or it's a dozer on our side, or a grader. It's dirty, muddy cement boots, when we're pouring concrete pads, or it's leather gloves when we're laying down concertina wire, or digging the ditches for utilities or whatever else. I mean, you and I've worked many different projects, and we've been, dirt high, sweaty, salty, in the middle of it. And at the end of the day, it's a good day because we were able to accomplish a lot of good different things and different projects that we worked on all around the world. And Mike and I had when we first came across each other, he was a third-class petty officer, and I was a second-class petty officer back in 1996. And I made first, and he made second, and I would give him my old crows.
Yes.
So the tradition is that if you make rate, that you give your crows, your collar devices, to somebody that's at a junior rank so that when they make that next rate that they can wear your collars. And so I gave Mike my second-class crows.
Yep.
I gave him my first-class crows. I gave him my chief's anchors, and then he made chief, and then he made senior chief, and then he gave me his senior chief anchors when I made senior chief because he passed
that's
me up.
That's where, all right, that's
and,
right.
Yeah, and then you made master chief from there as I made senior chief. So I was medically retired after I came back from Iraq, and you continued to move forward up the chain, and you made master chief. And Mike, I just want to thank you for your service to our nation, our country, to the United States Navy, and to our community. Tell us a little about when you were that transition from first to making chief And then also as you've moved up the chain of command to Master Chief and what it's been like as a Master Chief.
Yeah, earlier you were talking about there is a difference when you go from first class, which is E6, to a Chief, which is E7. Because it's all there's a whole different outlook of responsibility.
It's a leadership transition.
Oh, big time. And it's the other services have that, but it's not – we got a little bit more, I feel a little bit more in power on our responsibility versus the other services don't have that. They have responsibility, but it's not the power that's given to us.
Well, the chief petty officer is actually a congressional appointment. When you make chief petty officer, you are congressionally appointed as a chief petty officer of the United States Navy.
Yes.
And so if you get busted as a chief, you stay as a chief. I mean, if you get busted as a first class, you get busted all the way down to third class or whatever it is. So it's, I mean, there's a ceiling there that goes up, and there's a ceiling there that goes down.
Yes. And, you know, and there is a lot of responsibility. You know, and that's the reason we were talking about in the last segment, we were talking about the initiation or the transition, depends on what time period you were selected in. But, you know, you know, that's the reason why we go through that stuff we mentioned earlier. It's just, again, you know, you might have been say first 13 years of your career, you picked up 13 years worth of bad habits again, and when that's why they go through there and got to erase it to make you, hey, this is what a chief's supposed to be. And then you pick that up, and then you build on that, and then you go up for senior chief. You know, and it's so funny because I remember when I picked up senior chief, and I talked to our command master chief, and I go, how come the chiefs look at us funny now? I feel like they don't look at us. I was just a chief just the other day, and now I'm a senior chief, and they're like, and he says, that's just, the expectation is a lot different from you. You know, it's this memory when you made first, and you made chief, and then all your buddies that were first class who didn't make it, how did they look at you? And that was the same aspect. I'm like, oh, wow. You don't dog on them, you know, if you're, you know, the guys that are made chief that didn't make senior chief, you don't look at them any different. They just look at you differently. And, and that was all through the whole, all the way up to the ranks, you know.
Well, when you make chief, you're in the top 10% of the Navy.
Oh, absolutely.
When you make senior chief, you're in the top 5% of the Navy. And when you make master chief, you're in the top 1% of the chief.
You have a better chance of being an admiral than you do a master chief in the Navy. That's the word on the street. And it's a great honor. I mean, it's not an easy ride to get up there. And again, it's based on, you know, promotion wise, it's just catching the wave just right. And what your job is for the Navy, you know, if there's a high demand or, you know, for us being CVs, we did have conflict really caused a lot of high turnover rate and gave a lot of people opportunity to be promoted. But at the same time, you know, you get some of these fields that, you know, they're lucky to promote one. You know, I've been on some of these selection boards where they might have one guy, one match sheet for that was open and it's been closed for the last 5 years. That's how tight it gets.
Well, that's just it. And then with a drawback in the United States Navy, that reduces the billets that are available for open job occupation opportunities. And so you've closed down a couple of different battalions, haven't you?
When I was a command master chief for two battalions, and my job was to shut them down. I mean, the job
was back east, right?
Yeah, they were all both back east.
Little Creek, Virginia? Well,
that was when NCD. Was when they got closed up to NECC.
And that was a Naval Construction Division.
Yes. And then they, you know, that's a big branch itself because it's got EODs and all the other organizations. So we're all underneath one umbrella now.
Which is Explosive Ordnance Disposal.
Yes.
So we're easy talking acronyms. So sometimes we're talking to the public and they don't know what. They don't know what any of these are, so we have to explain some of those to them.
You're my Thor.
So, because it's that's right. So,
but
that's my delegation.
And then I went to Felt Bell Ward, closed that one. That's outside of D.C. Beltway, and then to Chicopee, Massachusetts, and then every time people saw me coming, they call me the Green Reaper because every time I come around, I'm only there for a year because I'm shutting somebody down. So.
And, well, I tell you what, we appreciate that because when you shut down one of the facilities, we were able to get some of the items. We received a couple of shipment answers for a block from the 9/11 strike there, Flight 77 into the Pentagon. And that is a key part of the museum. When you walk in, we have that right there as a piece of 9/11 from the East Coast. And I am grateful and thankful to you for being able to supply and have give us the opportunity. I mean, we had to be eligible for those.
Yes.
But you were an opportunity for us to be able to do that. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Zip on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
There are a lot of perfect reasons to never fight another war. There are a lot of perfect questions as to what's worth fighting for. And there are a lot of perfect fools who refuse to read the writing on the wall. But the truth is there are people who have made it crystal clear that it is their holy mission
to destroy all we hold dear. And they are busily out searching for the fire to make this towering nation fall. Now we can just sit back and wait until they spill more precious blood, or we can seek these cowards out and nip their slaughter in the bud. Adios, sweet home and family. I am off to fight a war that must be won. You will know why I'm going when you see the snow-white rose of Arlington. Every blade of grass is sacred, every headstone is a shrine to somebody who was willing to put existence on the line. The liberty we take for granted, it was purchased with their patriotic lives. Are their sleeping spirits restless? Do they listen for the sound of the mustering of armies to defend their hallowed ground? Will we rise to the occasion and ensure that their life's legacy survives? Through the willows blow soft breezes, they are whispering my name, asking, did they die for nothing? Aren't I the keeper of the flame? Adios, sweet home and family. Wave goodbye to your Louisiana son. You will know why I'm leaving when you see the snow-white road.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions and the Snow White Rose of Arlington. When I was out at IGO this last week putting together the display for Tom Johnson, World War II Marine Corps veteran who passed away, was killed in action November 22nd, 1943, which is tomorrow. 77 years ago, he gave his life for us, gave his life for our nation on the island of Taro and Basio. And as I was walking back and forth from the museum trailer to the office where I was putting together the display, there hadn't been any funerals in the afternoon during that time frame. And the sun was setting in the late afternoon, and the sky was blue, and the sun was sparkling through the yellow and orange and red trees out there, and they were shimmering back and forth. And as you walk out the lobby door and you start to walk toward the roadway there, the flag is centrally located down the walkway, and you could look up, and it was still at half mast, and the flag was waving in the cool breeze, and the trees were shimmering back and forth, and in the distance you could see the mountains and the row upon row of headstones that are out there, the white headstones against the green grass and the blue sky and the brown mountains. And the picture was so endearing in my thought, in my mind, of the men and the women who are laid to rest out there, the heroes of our nation. And it was quiet. They weren't mowing the lawns or anything, and you could just kind of hear the breeze blowing. And it was such a moment of just realization of the thankfulness for the freedom that we have. I just stopped for a second. I just absorbed that moment. I said, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for our nation. Thank you for these men and women. Thank you for our beautiful Northern California in this beautiful fall day, because it was just one of those moments that I was referring to earlier. And I was putting together a display. I found out information concerning a veteran who passed away. The phone call had come in. They were preparing to get the headstone and everything ready together. And United States Navy Master Chief Fred Sanchez served during World War II. He was one of the first frogmen, which was the predecessors, UCT, which is under underwater construction teams, which is part of the Seabees and part of the SEALs. That was the first time in American history, Navy history, where they put together an elite group of Navy personnel to be able to go in, taken to the edge of these different islands during World War II, dropped off by submarines. They would swim in to the shoreline, and they would mark the reefs, and they would go into the shoreline so many yards in and find out what the Japanese strength was, where different pillboxes were, where different units were located. Sometimes they would leave the mark Kilroy was there, and the Japanese would know that the American forces had been there, and the Japanese never knew that they were there. But those men were the first ones after the lesson of Basho and Tarawa to find out where those coral reefs were so they could be blown up, or the landing could be in a different location where there weren't so many underwater obstacles. I had the great privilege to take Fred to, or Master Chief, to Honor Flight to see the World War II Memorial. And he and I had the opportunity to talk. He talked a little bit about his career and what he did and where he was and some of the things. In working with these different veterans during Honor Flight trips, they would open themselves up and they would talk a little bit more to you than they would anyone else, because it was such an emotional experience going to the World War II Memorial. And to for them to realize that this was in their honor, it was a national thank you to them. And they would get to the point where, hey, maybe it is time to talk a little bit about this. Maybe I should share this with somebody before I was gone. And he passed away this last week. And Mike, you had the opportunity to know him out there at the Veterans Cemetery.
Yes.
And he was just he was sometimes he was offset. He was a little bit quiet because he's still dealing with some of those memories and demons in his mind from where he was, what he saw, and what he had done. He lost his wife several years ago. And she is laid to rest at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. I call the Igo Veterans Cemetery Arlington West.
Yes.
That is my terminology for it. They've actually started to call it Arlington West. And I just think it's so neat. It is such a beautiful location. And it's the only thing between Igo is the ocean. The mountains is the ocean.
Yes.
And so we are Northern California. Igo Veterans Cemetery is Arlington West.
Absolutely, Rob. You know, and I hear it all the time with the when I do services out there. You know, the comments. You know, I could be walking up behind a family, and you can hear them say, "What a beautiful place!" And
it stirs me. I've been there since 2003 when the governor showed up.
Yes.
There wasn't a headstone in that location.
Wow.
And that was in 2003 before I went to Iraq, my first
yes.
war. And I thought to myself, someday I want to be able to. I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Someday I want to be a part of this.
Yes. You know, you're the one that got me started out there doing the funeral services. And just last week, I was like you. I stopped and I was talking to this family member. And we were talking about all these, how neat the headstones were. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I probably have done. I'm there exactly where I started. You know, I started with Chad Ragland.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I remember what an impact that service was, you know, for anybody don't remember, that was our local ELD from Anderson. And,
Killed in Action.
Killed in Action. And that was my first KIA. And I remember where his headstone's at.
Right.
And now I'm looking, I'm like, oh my goodness!
How many are there now?
How many are there, and how many services I've done?
In 2008, when I started, we were burying as many as 6 World War II veterans a day.
Yes.
Because that was the time frame from
yes.
2006 to about 2013 was
yes.
the heaviest drawdown of our World War II society at that time. And over 2,000 services, I had the privilege of presenting flags to family members, to over 2,000 flags presented to the eyes of widows and children and men and sisters and daughters and aunts and uncles. And there's so many times for me, because I was still dealing with my PTSD, that you hold yourself in your composure and you present. And then as I walked away, it was just tears all
yes.
the way back to the building. But that representation of what we have when we're presenting those flags,
yes.
we at times are the only United States Navy representation that they ever see in their entire lives, because all I know is the sailor in the sailor's uniform, which is the blue crackerjacks.
Yes.
But other than that, you know, they've never been on a ship. They've never seen, they've heard their stories and everything else, but we are that final representation of the United States Navy in the service of their country.
Absolutely.
And so you've been, we're coming up on a break here for a second here, but we'll talk more about that when we come back. But it's, if you have not had the chance to go out to the I Go Veterans Cemetery, you need to go. You need to be there. You need to just go out there and walk around the location and breathe it in the fresh air out there.
A lot of history.
Right now is the time to do it with the colors, the fall colors that are out there, and read the headstones of the different locations and the battles and the men and the women and the name. These people are from our community. We'll be right back.
Pulse Urgent Care at 100 East Cypress Avenue would like to thank you for your support during 2020. Pulse is happy to announce they are reopening their urgent care services and are accepting patients by appointment only between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on weekdays and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. Pulse follows public health guidelines. Masks are required along with social distancing. Please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for a screening, appointment, and further information.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Your friendly old change, Premier in all we do.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or in Anderson across some Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out. And I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
that plane finally landed was kiss the ground. Next thing I did was to go find my friends down at the old hangout. We drank some beer and talked a lot about old times. But when the booze finally hit Billy Joe Grimes, he said, I don't know what it is, but you seem different to me.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest again this morning is Master Chief Mike Van Gundy, United States Navy Seabees. And, Mike, you did two tours in Iraq, right?
That's correct.
And so we want to talk a little bit about your first tour and your second tour, some lessons learned, what it was like to be away from home, how your family handled some of that stuff. I know you at that time, I can remember, you had two little kids.
Actually, no. They were after.
Oh, they were completely after that?
Yes.
After the second tour?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you had them during that time frame.
No.
And so now you have, now they're not even little anymore. Now they're growing like crazy. So tell us a little bit about during that time frame, at least your first tour, and then I know the second tour, you and I are both in Fallujah at the same time. We were coming, we had already been there.
Right.
And you were coming in to replace our unit. And so we saw each other just for a short period of time at that time.
Yeah, my first tour, I was 2005 when I went over there, and that was before Fallujah. That's where I wind up hanging out and talking about being on pins and needles and stuff. It's just it's so funny. We're coming up with Thanksgiving, and I'm thinking back then I was grateful back then, you know, just because you almost could set your clock or your watch to when you were going to get. You know,
it was like
clockwork, you know, so you always, you know, it's very important. You always have a watch on because you can say, all right, I need to start, where's my nearest shelter, where I need to, you know, or, hey, you know, I want to hang out here till after a certain time, then I'll scuttle across the compound.
Yeah.
So, but that was my, you know,
was that a camp?
We were in Fallujah, but Camp Knot was the internal camp inside Fallujah.
So Camp Knot was his name. It was a CB, our CB location. It was named after Petty Officer Knot, who was killed there by a mortar round.
Yes.
In fact, I think he was killed at Aramati when they had the big hit there at Aramati in 2004.
It was actually in Fallujah. Bedded down was in that facility, and that they took rounds inside that facility, and that's why they named it after him right there on that spot. Now Ramadi, which was up the street, I always say, yeah, those guys were constantly being tagged all the time. So
well, and the situation with what happened at Ramadi is a commanding general came in. Actually, it was an admiral came in and wanted everybody to assemble in the middle of the courtyard. So they assembled in the middle of the courtyard with 250 men, and all of a sudden they took six mortar rounds and lost, I don't know, it must have been 15 or 20 Seabees that were killed by mortar rounds. It's like, what senior officer had enough brains and common sense to have everybody congregate in the middle of a combat zone where we could get hit with one strike of mortars?
It was sad. It was a very sad day, you know, because
it's a sad day in Seabee history is what it is.
You know, again, it just puts things in perspective, you know. And I was, you know, the thing is, to kind of peel back the history back, you know, I remember when Desert Storm happened when I was stationed in Scotland, and we were on our way home from a deployment, and they were like, you might not be going home. You might be going straight from here down to Kuwait. You know, that's the time, and That was actually my first time. I was like, oh, wow, we're actually could be going to war, you know. And you just put everything in perspective. It's a little bit different.
Well, you train. They talk about it. You train.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happens. You stand up. You stand down.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you're gone. The balloon goes up, and you're out of there.
And fortunate enough, our unit didn't get the, that war ended so quickly that we were the last unit that did not have to go. So
right.
It's sort of like, okay,
that was at
cool.
29 Palms, right? We
yes.
were getting ready,
yes.
preparing to leave.
Yeah.
And they called it off.
Yeah. And then, but 2005 was actually, that was for real. And you just, like I said, it's just, you know, you pray that, hey, I hope I can make come back home, you know. And I did. And then I went back in 2007. It was so funny. I went to the same base, same barracks. I was just one bunk off where I was in 2005, you know. And that one wasn't so bad, but I travel a lot more outside the wire, which would be outside the compound. And that was kind of scary, too, because, you know, we were still with substance to get hit from you never knew where.
IEDs.
You know.
Improvised explosive devices.
You know, from the ground, from the air, it didn't matter. So that was, you know, the job I had was a little bit more high risk. The opportunity for something bad was going to happen, could happen. And every day you were thankful, hey, I survived today, you know, and then you got up, started your statement, because everything over there, as you know, Rob, is routine. You know.
Groundhog Day.
Absolutely. And you know what you were going to do, where you had to go, and the thing is, you just hope that you got through the day and any of the sailors you had working with you or soldiers or the Marines that, you know, if they had a group of them working with you, you just want to make sure, hey, did I get you back home safely? We're back. Our home back then was inside the camp, you know, and then we start all over. So, but you appreciate the little things and now it kind of makes sense why, you know, there's some things you don't talk about unless somebody's been in a combat zone and understand what it's like. Just the average Joe that don't know that, it's kind of hard to talk to them because they can't relate. There's nothing to relate it to.
Right.
You
know? It's certain experience is a certain experience.
Yes.
So completely understand that exactly what took place for us, except for when we were doing the convoys. We never stayed in one location more than 3 days. I mean, we were on the road doing a mission every single day, if not every other day, depending upon the logistics and the vehicles and our team, what we're prepared and moving forward. Let me give you an example. You're being tasked to take 80 semi-trucks to a location, but you've never been to that location before. So now you're traveling at night, all night long. You're responsible for 80 semi-trucks and the personnel and the carriers, plus your men, plus all the lives that you're responsible for. And you don't know where you're going. I mean, you've got a list. You've got a destination.
Yes.
But you've never been there before.
Yep.
So it's like going downtown L.A. and getting lost, only getting lost with people shooting at you in mortars and rounds. There was one night we came into Fallujah. Actually, we left Fallujah. We're headed into the Baghdad International Airport. And we were traveling down Michigan, which is a thoroughfare. It's a MSR, main supply route. And the tracers were just, there was a convoy ahead of us. It was an Army convoy carrying fuel. And the tracers, I mean, it was like red lines through the sky. I mean, it was just fire that night. It was just the heavy combat fire. There's explosions. There's tracer fire going left and right. They were shooting this Army convoy ahead of us. I mean, we were locked and loaded. We were not in their avenue of approach yet, which is where they were firing down range. And you come through a dip underneath an overpass, and you come back up, and that's where they had been shooting at them. They weren't shooting at the soldiers. They had shot up every single one of those. They must have had 50 semi-trucks full of JP-8. And they had fired, and every one of those JP-8 does not light on fire with the tracer round because it has such a high flash point, because it's for the helicopters and for the MTVRs and for the Humvees. And as soon as we came up out of there, we were prepared to go downrange, and they stopped shooting. And it was like, I mean, my lead gunner, he was all, I had already given permission to fire off everything else. I mean, we were going to shoot M203s. We were going to fire down range with the 50 cals and, yep. and the 240 Bravos. And all of a sudden there was no fire as we went through this area. But the fuel, the whole highway was just soaking wet with JP-8 diesel fuel everywhere. And they were getting rid of our logistics and what they were doing. So yes. We didn't have travel capability or be able to run helicopters and the vehicles. But I remember as I came through there, my heart was in the back of my throat because I knew that we were going to be meeting the enemy face to face. And I was going to have to make those instantaneous decisions as who was going to fire where and what we were going to do and how many men were not going to make it through the night.
Yeah.
And it was such a difficult time. I mean, just, we finally made it in the wire there at ECP-4 going into Baghdad. And we all took our gear off and we just kind of took a breath because we were expecting to get hammered so hard. We were expecting to lose lives in that moment. And it was such a crazy time, such a crazy situation. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Pulse Urgent Care at 100 East Cypress Avenue would like to thank you for your support during 2020. Pulse is happy to announce they are reopening their urgent care services and are accepting patients by appointment only between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on weekdays and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. Pulse follows public health guidelines. Masks are required along with social distancing. Please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for a screening, appointment, and further information.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue. Lay down his life. Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield. Ron Burrows, I'm your host this morning. Our guest again is Master Chief Mike Van Gundy. He lives here in Northern California. And Mike, you know, you and I had the great opportunity of working out there at the Veterans Cemetery. Once again, you came back out, and as I was retiring out, you became my mentor. I became your mentor for a short time as we were doing the transition and doing the services.
Yeah.
And it was always after being to Arlington and they're changing of the guard, and the unknown, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and the professionalism that they had, we tried to bring that professionalism to our Northern California Cemetery here at IGO, and to make sure that, you know, when a veteran serves and they know that if they do their time that somebody's going to be there to honor them, that we stepped up to the plate and we honor them correctly and we honor them properly and we give them the honor and the respect and that commitment to their service that they deserve. I just hope someday when I'm laid to rest out that there's somebody there for you and I that cares enough.
Yes.
That cares enough to be able to give that dignity and that respect to the veteran and the care to the family. And so after, like I said earlier, after doing over 2,000 services out there and presenting so many flags handing those, looking into the eyes of those people, and you see them from every different aspect, from bewilderment and shock and love, and sometimes there's hatred.
Yes.
I mean, it's just there's just ex-wives show up and all kinds of different things. I mean, you see, you and I have been – you and I have been at funerals where it's been a circus, and we just stood our ground. We did our job. We got out of there as fast as
I still think
we
about did. Chester.
That's what I was
thinking. Or not Chester, but Quincy.
Oh, was it Quincy?
Quincy.
I was just thinking about that. That one was just – we just bit our tongues. We got our gear. We got the heck out of Dodge.
I didn't think we were ever going to see a sheriff roll up just to store order at a funeral.
But, you know, there's so many – That was probably the most extreme out of all the services that we had done. It was a whole family of lunatics, I believe. And that's as far as I'll go with it. But
that's why you don't drink and do funerals together.
So, but at IGO, we don't see that. IGO
No.
is very regimented, and it's
yes.
a whole different story. But you go to the smaller community services and the smaller cemeteries, you get hometown everything. And so, but Mike, as we're in our last 10 minutes here, just tell me about what some of the things that you've – well, first of all, I want you to do a shout-out to your family and your mom and dad. And then I want you to tell us about the end of your naval career, what you're thankful for and what you've learned. And now that your last days are out there at the cemetery taking care of these honorable veterans, share that with us, yeah. Mike.
Well, I do appreciate my parents and then my family, Shelley and Brody, Rowdy and Cameron. You know, it's kind of weird because, you know, I'm coming in 32 years, you know, in the Navy and it's coming to an end. And I'm kind of looking forward to cut the umbilical cord. We always use the term in the Navy, just cut it loose and walk away, you know. And it's time for somebody else to pick up the torch and hoping that you installed enough pride in you train your trainers, you know, and if you did your job right, they should pick the torch up and then continue on. My future, Rob, I'll be honest with you, I haven't even put it together. You know, I'm just kind of just playing it by ear, and I think I'm in a good position where I'm at, where I can. I don't have to feel I immediately have to get out and find me a real job now, but
you can always volunteer for the museum.
Oh yeah, hoorah, volunteer! Voluntold, as we would say in the military.
Then I could actually go ahead and direct you again, right?
But yeah, that's all.
Whatever,
good.
It's a partnership.
Yeah, love hate relationship,
right?
I love it. But you know, I'm grateful that I had a successful career. I had great mentors, great friendships, and. And I think, you know, those can never be replaced.
No, they can't. It's a camaraderie yeah. that just it's locked in place, yeah.
and,
a special place in your life.
And you know, Rob, I'm thankful for what you've done for our community. I've seen, you know, over the years what you've done, and the thing, especially you know, my last job, you know, worked for the Navy is out in the doing funeral services, and I appreciate you getting me, you know, I know you asked me several times to come out there, and I just said no, I just, because, you know, it's just timing was not correct, you know, but you kept on it, and now I see the importance, and sometimes I look back, it's like, man, I could have shifted things around and been out there with you a little sooner, but no matter what, it still paid off, and it was an honor to keep your, what you started out there and carrying that tradition on out there. And, you know, I added a few things in there, but, you know, I make it more personal because, again, I'm from this community. It's like every day I seem like I'm turning around and it's like, hey, I know you.
We know these people.
You know, or they, or.
These are our local heroes.
Yes. And, or it's so funny being, you know, at your local, you know, Costco or any other stores, you know, say, hey, you're the guy that did my father or my grandfather's service. We appreciate what you did, you know, and that, I think that just speaks volume what you were talking about earlier, the professionals that we, or the pride that we put in our work, because that's that lasting image that you want, and that, I think that's, that is pretty much the gratefulness that I appreciate, that the families get that and they take that home and cherish.
Well, I know that after coming back from Iraq, working with the doing the funeral services, because I was the director for Northern California, funeral director for the Navy at that time for several years, and coming out of combat and dealing with the families, it forced me to face my personal demons from being, yes, in combat, because I was not ready to stop serving when we came home from Iraq. In fact, I volunteered for a third tour, and they said, no, you're going home.
Yes.
And I didn't realize I was as broken as I was, and fatigued and wore out, and my body had physically changed, and dealing with the combat stress that I didn't know that I had, that I still deal with at times. It just raises its ugly head. Sometimes I work long, long, long days because it just keeps my mind focused and keeps me motivated to get the things that we've done. And like you said, you're an outside lawyer. There's multiple times that we're put in situations where we shouldn't have come home. We just shouldn't have come home.
Yeah.
Rolling up on IEDs, 155 rounds just outside of Michigan there, stuck at a secondary IED. And we rolled up and it was 3 feet from my Humvee door.
Yes.
With wires coming out of it going down the hill. And it's like we're in the middle of 80 semi-trucks, and how long is it going to take for us to pull a...
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like...